I tell people, such an active person, in verse 2, he makes me to lie down because I'm going all the time. Well, one time I hurt my back before and I couldn't do nothing for 3 days, and that was a huge trial. Now I'm more like 3 months. And that's something God has reminded me of. And some of these other things, the restoring my soul, or how precious a thought is this, that I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll fear no evil because He's with me. He's promised to be with me. But those are thoughts that I enjoyed for myself. God gave me something for you guys. And something special in verse 5. We think of this is the Lord's hospitality to us. You know what a thing that God, the God of the universe, would invite us into His home, into His family, and wait on us. Now, a lot of people are waiting on me right now because they really can't do much. But what a privilege it is to be taken care of and to be welcomed into God's home. You know, we set the table each Sunday morning. We have a privilege of remembering the Lord, and there's a table spread before us of the Lord Jesus. And we remember Him. But here's the thought that I want to bring to you tonight. It's the second half of chapter 5, of verse 5. Something that we might puzzle over. It says, "You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows." And I paused there and stopped. But here are two things. What do they have in common? According to ancient Middle Eastern hospitality customs, they would anoint your head with oil. I can't back that up with any empirical data, but apparently they did that. When you came in, they would put oil on your head, and certainly they'd have a meal for you and have, you know, your cup overflowing. You know, it'd be a lovely little object lesson if I had a cup here, like one cup and a gallon of milk, and I just poured that. It wouldn't be a great, be a disaster. But our cup overflows. Right? And He anoints the head with oil. What do these two things have in common? Well, they're both an activity of pouring out. Right? When you anoint someone, you're pouring out oil on their head. And when you're filling a cup to overflowing, you're filling it too full. Or you're pouring the cup and it's overflowing, right? And I thought, what does this speak to us of? And I think, devotionally, practically this evening, it's talking to us about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, as a Christian, we need to appreciate the Holy Spirit. When we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell our lives. God comes and takes residence in our hearts. A while back, we did this this Bible study at Grace and Truth on something called My Heart, Christ's Home. And so God enters into our life, and He wants to take full possession of it. He wants to feel at home. Now, He's made us feel at home in His home. Now, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us at salvation. But another thing He does is He gives us this strange thing called the anointing. And I'd just like to think about a couple things here. The Holy Spirit is illustrated in pouring in two different ways. The anointing, we're told as believers in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, and the King James says, "You have an unction from the Holy One, and you have all knowledge." It's an interesting word. I looked it up in the King James. Of course, all you got to do is go to modern translation to get what it says. It's an anointing. But it's cool when you go into the original language. It's the word that we get the word Christ from. And if you are familiar with this chapter, it talks about the Antichrist in the world. And then it talks about us having an anointing from the Holy One. We are God's agents in the world as much as the Antichrists are Satan's agents in the world. And God has set us aside for a special purpose. That's what it means to be anointed. It means to be consecrated and set apart. That's one of the means. In Leviticus, we're told what Moses was supposed to do with Aaron and his sons. He was going to anoint them with a special oil. And they would be set apart for the service of the tabernacle to serve God. Right? And I could give you all these references, but for the sake of time, I won't. We also have the priests, or the kings. David was anointed by Samuel to be king. Saul was anointed. All the kings, not all the kings, but a lot of the kings were anointed. And they were set aside for a particular purpose, to be used of God. All those years David was in the wilderness. Get this, this is the key. One of the keys to this idea. David, the whole time he's in the wilderness, he knew he would be king. Right? Saul was tracking him down, trying to kill him. You know, Goliath, he faced Goliath. He faced all kinds of trials and difficulties. But he knew he was going to make it through. He knew he was going to be king. Why? Because he had God's anointing oil on him. He was set aside for a particular purpose, for God's glory. Then we go to the story of Elijah, which I've been meditating on. And Elijah was commanded to go and anoint some people. Jehu and Hazael and Elisha. Elisha was a prophet. And he was anointed. He's anointed as God's messenger. He was set aside as God's messenger to share God's words. And that's the thought in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. It says, we have an anointing from the Holy One and understand all things. We have God's message. It says, you don't have any need that anyone teach you. Okay, look the verse up. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. God gives us His special help in understanding His Word. He sets us aside. He puts His words in our mouth. He protects us so we can fulfill His purpose. And He consecrates us with that special anointing oil. What does that mean? Well, when the priest came out of the tabernacle, you knew he was in the tabernacle. You knew he was a priest because he had the Lord's anointing oil on him and had a special smell. Had a unique smell. They couldn't make it for anybody else. It was like a perfume that only they could wear. It's like they used to say about certain people from a certain part of the world, which I won't say, just in case it might offend some people, that they could never sneak up on you because they never took a bath. Right? You could tell they were coming because you could smell them. Right? Well, the priests were filled with the fragrance of God's presence. Right? And so as we're consecrated to the Lord, we are set aside in those special ways when He gives us that anointing. Another thing the anointing speaks of is that we, if you want to look this up too, is the leper and the priest are anointed in exactly the same way. Pretty much the very top of the Israeli system at the time was anointed with the oil and consecrated and set aside. And then the very bottom of the barrel was anointed exactly the same way. Once they were restored, once they were cleansed, once they were brought back in. And that's a picture of you and I. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we're brought in. Yeah, we were at the bottom of the bottom of the bottom. A leper had to go outside the camp. A leper had to cover his mouth and say, I'm unclean. A leper had a disease that was all over their body. A leper wasn't someone you hung out with. A leper was dirty and defiled. And yet once he was clean and he was brought in, he was consecrated exactly the same way as the high priest. And the Lord receives us right into the Holy of Holies once we are born again. So that's that, okay? There's more to it. But look it up, the anointing, what we have. This is something all of us as Christians possess. All of us can appreciate. You youngest believers, you women, you young women, you older believers, new believers, we can all appreciate this truth. And it's there for you in the Scriptures if you study it. The second thing is this filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The fruit, I assume it was wine in the glass. I don't know. Maybe it was something else. Probably wine. That's what they drank in various forms of dilution. Maybe they add water to it. They wouldn't always drink full-strength wine. But regardless, today in America, we have something very special called free refills. Right? You don't need to buy a large because if you get a medium, you can fill it as many times as you want. Right? It's a bottomless glass. Right? And the hospitality in the Middle East at the time, and probably today too, you're halfway done with your glass and wow, it's magically refilled. Right? That could be dangerous, especially if it's full. Not diluted at all, wine. But regardless, it's always getting full, right? But it's not telling us that. It's overflowing. It's making a huge mess, right? Must be figurative, right? It's got to be figurative. But let's think about this. What does wine represent in Scripture? Well, I know at least two things. I tried to dig a little deeper, but I ran out of time. I know it represents joy. We're told that in Psalm 104 or 107, that it makes glad the heart of man. We know the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 2 turned the water into wine at the wedding. And there was a great celebration. And usually in the Scriptures, when people are enjoying wine, it says a time of celebration, time of joy. Right? So it represents joy. And you go to Song of Solomon chapter 1, it talks about his love is better than wine. So wine is kind of like love too. Now I tried to, I was hoping that peace was in there somewhere, but it didn't happen. But regardless, those are the two first fruits of the Holy Spirit listed. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. I don't have memorized. You young guys haven't memorized. I know that for sure. But God's hope, God's comfort, God's love, all these things. What does it mean to have our cup overflowing? But that we are appreciating God's blessings to us. We are appreciating God's love. We are appreciating God's peace. When you think about the first three fruit of the Spirit, it's love, joy, and peace. Love that passes knowledge. Right? Just think about that. To know the love of God that passes knowledge. To know something you can't know. And then there is the peace that passes understanding. Right? Something you can't understand. And then there is the joy inexpressible and full of glory. A joy that we can't even put into words. These are the things that God is filling us with. And we're told in 1 John, in the Gospel of John, that our joy, He wants our joy to be full. And so He fills up our cup. That's for us to enjoy. These are the things that we appreciate about Him, just for ourselves. Right? I told you this is something special for you. Find out those things about God that you appreciate and enjoy it. One of the old catechisms said that that's the chief end of man. To love and enjoy Him forever. Now, I probably butchered that to any of you Presbyterians out there. But to enjoy Him forever. Find something about God to enjoy. And let it fill your heart. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to overflow. And other people will appreciate it too. You know, in 2 Corinthians, it talks about the comfort wherewith we're comforted with God that we can comfort others with. We go through these difficult things and God comforts us. And then through that, we're able to comfort others. So this is two things to think about. When God, the Holy Spirit, is poured into our lives, on us, we're consecrated for His service. We have the fragrance of His presence. We have His message. And we have His protection. Right? And we're welcomed into His Holy of Holies. And secondly, He fills our cup. What is He filling it with? What do we fill with? Here's another thought about the cup. We have all kinds of things in our cup, don't we? Things we enjoy that we probably shouldn't enjoy. Can't help it. We're sinners. But what if that cup was so full? If I had a cup and a little bit of coffee in it, and I started pouring milk in there, right? And I don't like coffee. And I just keep pouring milk and just keep pouring milk and keep pouring milk. Eventually there's not going to be any coffee in that glass. Right? Theoretically, maybe I'm mistaken. Our prayer should be, Lord, just fill our hearts so full of You, so full of those things about You we enjoy, that there's not any room for anything else. Just imagine what that would be like. Anyway, those are my thoughts this evening. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit and the ministry that He has in our lives. Lord, we thank You that He has set aside each and every one of us. We are all have an unction from the Holy One and understand all things. Lord, help us to appreciate this, that we are not our own, but we're bought with a price. We are set aside for a special purpose. Lord, we should have the fragrance of Your presence of worship when we're around others. Lord, help us also to fill our hearts so full of Your things, Your joy, Your love, Your peace, Your hope, that it would overflow and affect those around us. Lord, we thank You for Your Word and how it has so many special things for us, even when we thought we'd run it dry. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.